We're back at the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. This is Hollis Walker sitting in for Mary Charlotte. Before we get started with my next guest, I wanted to take a moment. All of us have been very saddened by the death of Diego Mulligan, the host of The Journey Home on KSFR. And I wanted to let you all know that the Diego Family Memorial Fund has been opened at Los Alamos National Bank. People who want to make contributions can go to any LAMB branch and make a deposit to the fund, which will help to support Diego's family. Memorial details haven't been set yet, but we'll let you know next week when that happens. We'll announce them on the air and we'll post them on KSFR.org. So my guest now is Kim Kyle. She's president of Horizon Sustainable Financial Services of Santa Fe. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Hollis.
I want you to tell me about how you got into this business, because it's kind of an interesting story.
Well, I actually got into this business by accident. I moved to Santa Fe almost 15 years ago and fell into financial advisory by starting, coming into the business by working with a gentleman named Richard Barr, who many people may remember, who worked in socially responsible investing for a number of years here in Santa Fe, and became his business partner, and worked with him for a number of years until he retired in 2007 and bought his part of the practice from him and changed the name of the business at that time to Horizon Sustainable Financial Services. And so that happened in 2007.
And you've recently kind of expanded the business, right?
Yes, I have. I now have a new business partner, Johan Klassen, who has joined me as of January of this year. And so we're making some business changes that are happening right now.
So, you know, when I first kind of got vaguely familiar with this movement, it was usually referred to as socially responsible investing. Now it has other words attached to it. What do people call it now?
There are a number of terms that are related to what it is I do, and sustainable investing, impact investing, faith-based investing is another term that people often refer to it as, for some folks who are interested in looking at it that way. But impact investing is the most recent term that we've been hearing about what used to be only termed as socially responsible investing.
So what is it? What does impact investing really embody?
Well, there are three components to what we look at when we look at socially responsible investing or sustainable investing or impact investing. And those are, the first thing is screening. And so we screen out things that we don't want to hold in our portfolios or screen in things that we do want to have into our portfolios. That's the first component. The second component is shareholder advocacy. So maybe we might hold shares of a company that doesn't pass all of our particular screens or things that we, you know, are interested in, but we would file shareholder resolutions around issues that are important to us. So we would hold companies, maybe shares of ExxonMobil or something like that, that might be an issue around oil extraction or that kind of thing. And then community investing, which is a huge growing component of impact investing, looking at local community investment processes.
So I come to you, let's just pretend I have a whole lot of money.
Okay.
I've got, you know, my long forgotten lost aunt has died and left me $5 million. Woohoo! And I don't know what to do with it. And so I can come to a company like yours.
Right.
And because I'm a person of good moral values, I have a lot of big opinions about where I want my money to go. And so I can come to you and you will help me figure out, maybe you'll help me figure out what I really think.
Right.
To begin
with. Absolutely. So one of the first things that we do with clients is sit down and fill out a social policy questionnaire. And because there are a variety of things that sometimes people don't even realize that they might be affected by. And that social policy questionnaire will look at things like oil extraction issues, fracking, genetically modified engineering, traditional forestry extraction, animal rights issues. There are a number of issues that sometimes people don't often think about that they may be interested in not supporting or definitely supporting in terms of their investments. And they often don't realize that they have those, well, they know they have those values, but they don't realize that they can affect those things with their money as well.
Right. You know, I'm afraid I think I know a lot of people who have what I consider lead very conscious, very morally upright lives. They, you know, would never litter, and
Absolutely.
You know, and they would never want to support, oh, for example, sweatshops making garments for American consumption in Bangladesh, as you know, the sorrows and tragedies we've seen related to that. However, when it comes to their money, it's like that's sort of compartmentalized. It's over in this box. And, you know, it just sits over there, their stocks and bonds and whatever, and is making lots of money for them. And they're not taking into account that they're not walking their talk. You know.
I think that people are often not aware that that is a place where they can really walk their talk. And in some instances, if you have a 401k plan, for example, it's a little more difficult to do that because you're often locked into the options that the 401k plan offers you. But there are actually ways that you can influence your 401k plan. You can ask them to include sustainable investments within your plan offerings. And the more people who ask for that, the more likely they are to include a couple of offerings that would align with your particular values.
So if you work at a company and you look into, and you've got a 401k and you look into the mutual funds and the various financial instruments that they offer you, and you find out that those instruments include a lot of things that you don't agree with socially, politically, etc., you could go to that company and say, hey, I want you to give us as an option a green mutual fund or some socially responsible mutual fund that we could also, that would be an option.
Absolutely. There's an environmental nonprofit that I work with that actually sat down and looked at the offerings in their 401k plan, their nonprofit, actually it's a 403b plan, which is similar to a 401k, and realized that there were companies in their mutual funds that they actively were suing. And they felt like this was not appropriate for them to be investing in those companies in their retirement plan. So they came to me, and we sat down and created a plan for them that included mutual funds that would not include the companies that they would actively be suing on environmental grounds.
So you actually work with not just with individuals, but also with companies that to create things like 401ks or 403bs.
Right, or simple plans. There's lots of different types of retirement plans that you can create for companies and small businesses. So I do work with a number of small businesses.
So I have to, talking about your social policy survey that you ask clients to fill out, I just want to share some of the things on that with some of our listening audience. By the way, I'm talking with Kim Kyle. She's president of Horizon Sustainable Financial Services of Santa Fe. She does socially responsible investing, or impact investing, as it's now often called. So on this social policy survey of yours, there are, you know, it's a, you can check whether you agree, don't agree, you know, and all of that. But some of the things on here are policies designed to avoid profiting from child labor or sweatshops, policies supporting equality of employment for disabled persons, women, minorities, GLBT people. Under environmental issues, there are things like construction or operation of nuclear power plants. You could be for or against that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you could say, I really believe in nuclear power, and I want to buy stocks, bonds, mutual funds, whatever, that are invested in that. Or I don't. And some other very interesting ideas on here. Genetic research for purposes of medicine and medical technology. That's a really interesting one. Some people may be very much for that, and other people against.
Right, and you just never know what way some people are going to lean. And like I said, there are faith-based investors who may want to avoid that particular issue, and then other folks who say, well, I believe in looking at genetics to cure diseases and that kind of thing, and I'm willing to invest in companies that are looking at that as an issue.
Right. What are some of the most interesting things people ask you to screen in or out?
One of the most striking things that has come across my desk is I've had a number of physicians who absolutely don't want to invest in pharmaceutical companies, and that tends to happen regularly with physicians, which is very interesting to me.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, they don't really explain it to me in terms of why they don't want to, but they're pretty adamant about not wanting to invest in pharmaceuticals.
I suppose for some of them it may be a desire not to have a conflict of interest.
It could be. And I think there's a lot of issues around pharmaceutical companies and costs for patients and that kind of thing too. And so I think there's a number of issues around pharmaceuticals. So,
are there in the time you've been in this business, are there any issues that have sort of faded away that people don't seem so interested in anymore?
Well, the traditional sin stocks are tobacco, alcohol, and gambling. And we don't see a lot of people saying, well, I want to avoid alcohol, for example. A lot of people say, well, I enjoy a glass of wine for dinner, and I really like microbrew beers. And actually, microbreweries are a great place for a small investor to look at investing. You know, you can't invest often in those in a stock and a bond, but
right.
You know, sometimes people are looking at that as a local place to invest. You know, those are not traditional screens anymore for folks. Tobacco, certainly, people still want to avoid. And gambling, for some people, they still take advantage of that, but is a big issue for other folks. Mm-hmm. So sin stocks are still partially there, but partially not.
So do the issues that people are concerned about kind of follow the issues that are gaining prominence in the media?
I think there's a lot of attention being paid to sweatshops right now. Alternative energy has certainly been an issue that has been in the forefront for a number of years, and we'll probably see a big resurgence of that with what happened yesterday with Obama's speech, and people will be paying attention to that again. And so, you know, that tends to follow what's going on in the media and that kind of thing. So, you know, we see that come and go.
And what about, like, I'm thinking of fracking. I mean, really,
fracking
has really only come into parlance as a word in the past couple of years.
That's true. And that is becoming a bigger issue here in New Mexico, especially with what's happened up in Mora County, where they've banned fracking in that area, which has been a big issue back east for a number of years, but is becoming more of an issue here in New Mexico. And so I see a number of clients who say they absolutely don't want to be invested in companies that are participating in fracking. So that's definitely becoming a bigger issue here in New Mexico.
And I suppose with so many huge tragedies involving guns and stuff lately, that weapons are also probably on some people's list of things to screen out.
Yeah, and weapons avoidance has been a fairly big issue for a number of years, especially with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We've seen that for a while, but it does tend to come to the forefront when you see big tragedies like Sandy Hook Elementary and that kind of thing. People bring it up again, and they ask me. I'm not invested in guns, right? You know, so
right.
So they'll call me and ask me that question, and we'll look at their portfolios and make sure that that's something that they're being, you know, that's being avoided in their particular portfolio.
You know, it's really interesting because you're talking with people about their value systems. This is really very personal stuff.
It's very personal, and we have, you know, I mean, this is just the beginning of the conversation that we have with clients, and it's an ongoing conversation because people's values, while they tend to stay the same, things come up for them. And you never know what's going to shift and change for them in their lives, and what's going to happen in the news, and you know, what's going to shift and they're, what's going to come to the forefront. So they're going to bring up different issues all the time.
So I would imagine just ordinary events in one's personal life can bring up these issues that we all know we take it to our therapist, but we also take it to our investor.
Yes, sometimes I feel like a therapist.
I bet you do. But, you know, I was thinking about, you know, when someone has a child, typically, their whole life view changes.
Right.
What's important to them, suddenly education becomes very important.
Right, and major shifts in your life, you know, a major illness or a death of a parent, you know, those types of things, which are often things that bring rise to a shift in your financial picture anyway, bring a change in your values. So
right, for good or bad, you know, mom and dad die and you get some of their money and an inheritance, and or, you know, you have a parent die and the other parent is suddenly your financial responsibility.
Right, so lots of things can change.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, one of the things I was surprised about that we talked about the other day was about the religious funds.
Yes.
Tell us about those religious funds.
Yeah, there are some Catholic values funds. So for those people who are a little more to the right of major issues, there are some funds that fit with those folks. And, you know, so it's not all a left-wing issue here in terms of socially responsible investing. That's why I brought up the idea of faith-based funds. There are some Mennonite funds.
What's a Mennonite fund look like?
Well, it's, you know, they look at a lot of the same issues as some of the more left-wing type funds, because what they look at is being a steward of the earth and really feeling that it's their responsibility to take care of the earth and take care of people, and looking at those issues and on a bigger picture. You know, God has given them the responsibility of taking care of the earth, and so they look at that as a major component of what they're doing. So it's really interesting.
Right, so someone who is not necessarily a Mennonite but felt themselves aligned with the values of that fund, reflected
right.
in that fund, I could have the Mennonite fund in my portfolio.
You could, absolutely.
And or the Catholic fund.
Potentially,
yeah.
Depending on where you fall on the risk on the social policy questionnaire, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. So, I think there is a tendency to think about socially responsible or impact investing as if it's really only left leaning. Where do you see your clients falling on the you know, liberal to non-liberal scale?
Well, I have the majority of my clients are here in New Mexico. I do have clients all over the country, but most of my clients tend to fall on the more liberal side of the scale and really care about the environmental impact of their investments. And so that tends to be where they fall. You know, a lot of my clients are in Santa Fe and Albuquerque and care about those environmental issues. And so they tend to be in that left-leaning wing that, you know, they could be anywhere in between.
Yeah, and you could be investing money for someone who is extremely conservative.
Right, absolutely. And that's the nice thing about doing what I do, is it's not about me and what I believe, it's about what the client believes. And that's why using the social policy questionnaire is a great place for us to start, because I don't create a portfolio for them that is about my beliefs, it's about theirs.
Right. Well, and we have to be fair here. Just because one is, for example, politically conservative, doesn't mean one doesn't care about the environment.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking about a very conservative friend of mine who is a huge donor to environmental organizations and things like that, because she cares about the earth very deeply. And, you know, so yeah, we don't want to put people in boxes, although it's
exactly
easy to do that.
Exactly.
You know, I'm wondering if in the old days, before this kind of investing came up, were people even aware where their money was going? Or were they more aware?
I think that's a difficult question to answer. I think there are some people who are fully aware of where their money is going, and other people who are not. And I think even today there are a number of people who are not really aware of where their money is going. I think I find that a lot with 401k plans, retirement plans, folks who don't really know what their money is doing for them and don't have a full understanding of that. So I do a lot of financial planning work with folks where I'm not necessarily managing their money, but sitting down with them and explaining what's going on with their particular investments that are in their 401k plans. And so there's some dialogue that happens with that, just so they have a better understanding of what's going on.
Right. I guess I'm just feeling like at one time, like in my parents' generation, you know, they, even though they had to have a broker to do it, if they owned anything, they owned stocks and bonds, and they had money in CDs and savings bonds. And that was pretty much it. And now the range of financial instruments that you can get involved in is so wide. And the whole advent of mutual funds and that idea, which makes it all a little more difficult for the individual to parse, you know.
Right. There are a lot of financial instruments that have come into play in the last couple of decades that people don't really understand, and that's true. So I think that it can be a little more complicated than it used to be.
Right.
Absolutely.
All those acronyms.
Right.
REITs and, you know.
Right.
All those kinds of
CMOs. And, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of complicated instruments. And so I think part of what I do is really about education.
Right.
I want want my clients to understand what their investments really are and what they're doing. And we try to stay away from things that are derivatives and those types of complicated investments that clients are not going to understand, because those are really for your high net worth, very sophisticated investors. And for those that are appropriate for them, you know, we may use them if they're appropriate, but that's a very small group of people.
Yeah, not Joe Sixpack, as we call him in journalism world.
Okay.
Joe Sixpack. So, so that's really funny. So, talk to me about, we talked about microlending and community investing. Tell me about that.
Right. Community investing is a growing field in the socially responsible investment world and the impact investment world. And these are really high impact investments. And community investing, or micro lending as people are often more familiar with that particular term, can be as impactful as using a CDFI, or Community Development Financial Institution, and there are a number of them around the country, where you would make a loan and buy a note which would work similar to a CD, and you would get what often is a below market interest rate, so below a bond market interest rate is what we would consider a market interest rate, maybe a 1 or 2 or maybe 3% depending on the institution that you're working with. And that institution would then lend out those funds to folks around the world or locally in the area that maybe you live in, depending on what the CDFI is doing. But it could be something as simple as lending $100 to, or the equivalent of $100 to a woman in Africa who might use that money to buy chickens and sell the eggs to feed her family. Or maybe she buys a cell phone and then allows people to use her cell phone and they pay her a fee, and she pays back that loan and uses the money that she makes to feed her family.
But it's also, community investing can also be people down the street, right?
Right, absolutely. There are some local community investment opportunities here in New Mexico. You know, there's the Community Development Loan Fund here, and there's a couple of other.
What's that? It's a Community Development Loan Fund.
Well, it's a local institution here where you can lend money to them. They're going to pay you a small interest rate. And again, I have to mention that none of the things that I'm mentioning are recommendations for investment, because
right.
I don't know anybody that I'm speaking to.
Right.
So they're not necessarily a recommendation for investment. But and another one, actually, that is a local investment that has a new offering coming out is HomeWise.
Oh.
And I just spoke with them yesterday, and July 1, they have a new offering coming out. And HomeWise has a note that they're offering. And it's a period of time, and it works similar to a CD, although it's not a guaranteed note, so it's not like an FDIC-insured note or anything like that. These are investments, but you would get somewhere between 1% and 4%, depending on how long you were willing to loan that money to HomeWise. And, you know, so maybe you get 1% if you're loaning it to them for a year.
And they use those for mortgages.
They use those for mortgages, for solar energy, for some of the different programs that they have. They have some really great programs that they offer over there.
So basically, when you do that kind of community investing, you're saying, I want to take a piece of my money and I want to loan it to people locally who are
right.
doing things that I believe in, or just out of my altruism, I want to help them.
Right.
Instead of feeling like all of my money is going somewhere else.
Right.
And I'm willing to with these funds take a lower interest rate than I might make if I put it in a CD or some other financial instrument.
Right. Well, actually, 1% is pretty good, because I don't think you can find a short-term CD that's paying 1%.
Right.
But you know, that it's generally what we would consider part of someone's cash allocation or bond allocation.
Right.
They work similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
But they are somewhat altruistic, because you are getting a lower than market interest rate for them. But they are that community development and community part of your portfolio.
It's like loaning money to a local organic farmer.
Yes,
they
absolutely.
Typically need a lot of money up front for their growing season, for seeds,
right.
for equipment, for all this stuff. And then, you know, at the harvest, they can often pay back those loans.
Right.
So it's that same sort of idea.
Right. And were that an option that was available, And it may be, I'm not sure, yeah. That would be a great community investment
exactly.
option.
Exactly. Right. So one last question, Kim. How does socially responsible funds or impact investing, how does that kind of investing compare to traditional investing where you're not screening in and out for anything except earnings?
Are you talking about performance?
Yeah, I'm talking about, that's your word, performance.
Performance, yeah. So one of the nice things that we have to look at performance with is there used to be an index called the Domini's Social Index, which mirrored the S&P 500. It's now called the KLD MSCI Social Index. They had to change the name and make it very complicated to remember. So it's the KLD MSCI Social Index. And over the history of this index, it's actually slightly outperformed the S&P 500 by almost 0.5%, which is not a lot. And we don't really expect it to necessarily outperform. What we want to do is see it perform at the same rate as the S&P 500. So performance issue is not really an issue. And historically, you know, people have said, well, let's just invest in things that are, you know, the traditional, let's invest in sin stocks and then you can, you know, donate the difference. But the reality is that you're going to, more than likely, if you've got good investments and good allocation and made good choices, your performance is going to be about the same.
Yeah, so you can actually make money in socially responsible investing.
You can, yeah.
That's great. So I had one other question. What was I thinking about a minute ago? We're almost coming out of time. I've been talking with Kim Kyle, president of Horizon Sustainable Financial Services of Santa Fe. You can find out more about Kim at www.horizonssfs.com or just type in Horizon Sustainable Financial Services of Santa Fe and she'll pop up, I'm sure.